Amen. Thank you, team. Thanks for leading us this morning in a time of worship, a time of live worship, not only live, but in person, where I can hear brothers and sisters, and it's good to sing with you. You know, when we're at home over the past few weeks, you know, I sing. I don't belt it out too loud because it's kind of awkward at home, but I do sing in my heart. But man, when we come with all of you guys, I love to hear the worship. Ushers, go ahead and come forward. Again, throughout these weeks, we've been faithful in our giving to the Lord and to our missions. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. But it also is an act of worship to give unto the Lord. And so we want to make that a part of our worship time together. Each week during our worship, I'd like to emphasize one of our missionaries that God has given to us to support. We currently have 21 missionaries. We had 22, but as you know, Brother George and Carolyn Booth, they're kind of pulled back from the needs to travel and their support. So they're kind of retired. I say kind of because George never will fully retire. So we need to be praying for all of our missionary family. A missionary family that we're pointing out today is the Spores. Do we have a picture of the Spores? You know what they look like. The guy with the funny mustache, right? We know Brother Steve, and he and Len have been faithfully working in Vanuatu, in Port Vila, for a good many years now. Established a strong church and a Christian school. We need to be praying for them. At this time, pray also for him, a special need health-wise. He's mid-70s now, by the way. He's not a young fella. So he's in his mid-70s. A few months ago, he had taken a bit of a fall, and he broke a hip. And he can't get it fixed. He needs to come back to New Zealand to get some work done. But the difficulty is he's there working alone at the church and the school. The Herzls have been away, and their borders being so closed, they don't let in their own citizens. So they're closed. So if he left, he couldn't get back in. It's a difficulty, but he needs help. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for God to do something, to open up a way, to show what he needs to do. Pray for their ministry. Also pray for the Herzls. The Herzls work with them in Vanuatu. But they've been in the U.S. all of this year. And it's been difficult for them as well. But they're hoping to get back in the country, into Vanuatu. The Herzls are going to be coming here to New Zealand in November for Charlie and Tara's wedding. That's the plan, that they're going to be here early November. And so they, you know, after that, they'd like to make their way over to Vanuatu at some point. So just pray for God to open up the way. All right, let's lift up this family. By way of report last week, we thank the Lord, the total, no, we weren't here, but the total giving was 8,198. And of which 2,006 was for missions. So that's good. And I just thank the Lord for the faithfulness of his people. Let's continue to be faithful, meet our missions obligations. Our mission budget this year is at just over 93,000. And we need to be faithful in meeting that budget. So prayerfully and faithfully, let us give. Let's pray, though, and dedicate our offering to our Lord and lift up these missionaries. Father in heaven, I thank you for the responsibility you've given to us of missions, global missions. We lift up our missionary family, the Spores, to you, Brother Steve and Miss Lynn. Be with Brother Spore and his health situation. I pray, Lord, that you would miraculously open up a way for him to get the help he needs right now. And Lord, watch over the Herzls as well as they are traveling and as they intend to come over here in November and they desire to get back home to the mission field later, I pray for them as well that you would just make their path straight, open up a way, Lord, and look after them, protect them. And Lord, may you bless their labor, bless their efforts in Vanuatu, and may, Lord, many come to know Christ because of it. We dedicate this offering to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, choir, again, for blessing us. We do appreciate that. Last Sunday, we weren't exactly sure if we would be able to come here on anniversary Sunday. But at the last minute, Jackie and the choir pulled together and said, we want to do something. And so I really appreciate that. Today is our anniversary Sunday. And normally on our anniversary Sunday, it's also Time Change Sunday. And we have one main service that we do and share a meal afterwards. So things are a bit different this year, unfortunately. But we still acknowledge God's faithfulness for 36 years. 36 years. I'm going to show a picture, and I want you to tell me what it is that you see in this picture. We have a picture. There it is. Remember this? This was apparently 2 years ago on this day, anniversary 2 years ago. And what do you see? A distinct lack of distancing each other, right? Back when we were so foolish to do such things. Distinct lack of it. But besides that, this is God's people. This is the people of God. A peculiar people. A people made to proclaim the glory of Him who called us. That's what this poster says here. Proclaim the praises of Him who called you. Last year our theme was be peculiar. We're a peculiar people. And the verse goes on after, you know, telling us to be we are a special, peculiar people, that we're also to proclaim the praises of Him who called us. And so that's what I want us to focus on this year. Today's text comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, where this verse is found. We're going to read through verse 9 through verse 12. And so I'd like to invite you to stand with me and let's read together verses 9 through verse 12. Also, if you are live streaming with us, I do welcome you. I'm glad that you're here with us as well. And so if you'd like to, if you're at home, you can stand as well and read along with us. Verse number 9, you ready? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your passage, your text to us today from the Apostle Peter. Lord, thank you that we are a people of God. We are a peculiar people. We are special people. We are a chosen people. We are a people to proclaim your praises. And I pray, Lord, that today you would remind us afresh of who we are in Christ, what you have done, and these marks or characteristics of believers would be seen and evident in us, your people, for your glory, your praises. We pray in Jesus' name, and we say, amen. Please take a seat. Marks of the people of God. Characteristics of God's people. I wanted to bring this message. This is our anniversary. And you know we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians in our recent series, our sermon series. And it's a good book, and there's so much in there that we need to go through, and we need to learn together. But this week, the chapter was on a chapter about sexual immorality. And so I'm thinking, we got our anniversary. I bring a sermon on sexual immorality. I just wanted something else for today. Amen? So today, we're focusing on who we are as a people of God. What are some characteristics? Oh, the 1 Corinthians message will come, because that is also a part of who we are in Christ, a mark of God's people, even when it comes to our sexual morality. We're a people of God. But today, what are some distinguishing marks of IBC or for that matter, Christians, genuine believers all over the world, as opposed to the world, some distinguishing characteristics and mark of God's people. What's the very first word of our text? It's not up there, it's before this one, but the very first word of our text is the word but. You don't often start sentences with but. What it means is he was saying something, and then it led up to this text, this passage that we read. But what was he saying? What was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus Christ and how he was the capstone. He was the cornerstone of the church. He's the foundation of the church. But that foundation, that capstone of Jesus Christ, he was a stumbling stone to the lost. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. Why? They were looking for something different. They were looking for, the Messiah that would come and conquer and rule. That's what they were looking for. But Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he came to his own, but they didn't receive him. He was a stumbling stone. And then he goes on. Peter says, but. So he'd been talking about those who have rejected Christ. And now he says, but you are a chosen people. You are different. There's something different about you. And it's not because of you, but by God's grace, by God's mercy, he has done something in your life. He has changed you. He's taken you from darkness to light. You're a new creation in Christ. Something is different about you. You're God's people. This year has been a hard year for many churches all over the place, all over the world. And I say it has been hard, but in some ways, maybe it's also been good. Because people who perhaps gotten used to attending a church for social reasons, like a social club, maybe they've just found something else to fulfill their social needs. People who have gotten used to church for entertainment and feeling their desire to be entertained, maybe they found it somewhere else. But I will say that those who belong to the Lord, they've bonded together. They've had to. They've not forsaken their church and the fellowship. And when we have to do things like we've done in the past few weeks, meet at home, and I'm having to sit with myself, sometimes one of my family members with me, and stare into a camera, it's not the same thing. But I realize that my brothers and sisters all over, part of the IBC family, are doing the same. And it's not because they have to, but it's because they want to be a part of the fellowship. They must be. Why? Because they're different. They're a people of God. What are some marks? The first one we see here is believers are a blessed people. A blessed people. Let me just read through that passage. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're a blessed people. So many blessings packed into this little passage. And by the way, the similarities here of the words that are used to describe the people of God and the words that were used to describe the people of Israel, they're very strikingly similar. They're very strikingly similar. There's a distinction. And we're not a church that adheres to replacement theology, which is that God has done with Israel, pushed her aside, and now the church has replaced her as God's people. But rather, that we, the church, have been grafted in to the people of God, along with Israel. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. But we now have been grafted in. More on that in just a moment. But what are some of the blessings that we have? First of all, we are chosen. A chosen people. Is there some Old Testament passages that talk about a people that were chosen by God? Absolutely. That people was Israel. God chose Israel. Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 7, for you, Israel, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. This sounds very similar to what Peter was saying to us. A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. And this is God's word to Israel. You're a chosen people. You're a special people. You're a holy people. God had a special people that he chose. Why? It wasn't because Israel was more faithful than any place else. It wasn't because they were better than every other nation. But God chose them. God chose them that they would be the people, the mouthpiece that he would speak to the world through. God chose Israel that they would be the people that God would send the Messiah through. And he did. And he used them. And over the centuries, over the time that has passed, Israel has come and gone as far as their faithfulness to the Lord. And God had judged them and brought them back. And then when the Messiah came, by and large, Israel rejected the Messiah. But God opened up the way to all people everywhere to be grafted in and part of his people, his holy, special people. Take a look at what Paul said in Romans 11, verse 17. He says, and now you, Christians, non-Jewish Christians he's speaking to. This is Romans. He's talking to the Christians in Rome. He says, and you, being a wild olive tree, that is, you're not part of the original stock of I don't know what you call it, but special olive trees like Israel. You're a wild olive tree. We're grafted in among them, among God's people. And with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So we've been grafted in with God's people, with Israel. And we too are a holy people, a chosen people. Last year in October, a number of us from the church here went to Israel. And we got to see all kinds of neat things. One of the things we saw, we were going through Jerusalem, and there's a very, very old street, an ancient street called Cardio Street. And it was a commercial street, you know, a long time ago. And there's still shops there. That's the amazing thing about Jerusalem is it's such an ancient city, but there's still, it's a living city. It's not just ruins. So it's a constant living city, ancient city. And we went through this, and in this street, though, was a shop, a small shop. And it was an artist. He was an Israel believer. He was a Messianic Jew. He believed Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he was a fantastic artist. And when he came to know the Lord, his art shifted. It changed. And he began to draw things that depicted biblical truths. And beautiful. And he gave away so much of his art to our group. He gave a number of pieces to me, and we bought some things from him. It is his business. But one of the things that he gave me is this next picture here, if I could display it. This picture. I thought it was a wonderful picture. He explained to me what it was. The picture is of, you see the in the background, the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem. That's what it kind of looks like today, the Eastern Gate. And it's through this gate, prophecy talks about the Messiah. When he returns, he will come through. He will come into Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem. I find it interesting. There is no gate there right now. It's all blocked up. It's all walled up. throughout the years, Muslims have made sure that they would seal it up so that there is no Messiah able to come through here. Like sealing up an entrance is going to stop the Messiah, right? Did that stop Jesus? No. And it won't stop him again. But he gave me this, and then at the front, there's, it looks like two olive trees, but he says, no, one has been grafted in and shares the same root. And we, this depicts the Jewish nation as the people of God, the chosen people, God's holy special people, but the church that has been grafted in with her, sharing that same root. And as Paul said, a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, and the blessings that it is to be a people of God, Jew, Gentile alike, all who are in Christ Jesus, we share that. Isn't that beautiful? But the next blessing that we see is where the royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. These two words have not been associated together historically. They've been kept separate. Which tribe did the priests come through in the Old Testament? Which tribe? Remember? The tribe of Levi. The family of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi. This was the priestly tribe. It's not the tribe of kings. David, he came through the tribe of what? Judah. Who did Jesus come through? Which tribe? Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah. And so these two were kept separate. And they did not allow the mixing of them. When Saul, who was king, tried to mix it, and that is that he began to offer his own sacrifices, he was rebuked. The Lord did not accept that. It was not his place to do such a thing. He disobeyed God. We see a passage, though, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, in referencing Jesus. It says in verse 14, "For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood." The writer here is saying Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe, and Moses never talked about the kingly tribe being a part of the priesthood. That wasn't their place. Verse 15, "And yet it is far more evident if in the likeness of," what's the word? The name? Melchizedek. Melchizedek, Melchizedek. "In the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, that priest being Jesus, in the likeness of Melchizedek, of the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus came from the kingly tribe of Judah, not of the Levites, yet Jesus is over and over referred to as the ruler, as the king, as the high priest. So he is both king and priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Not a lot is said about Melchizedek, but we do meet him in Genesis. When Abraham came to Melchizedek and it referred to Melchizedek as being a king and a priest, and there Abraham worshiped the Lord, worshiped Jehovah God, and even offered to Melchizedek in worship a tithe, a tenth of his wealth. And he worshiped the Lord in this way. And so we have the mention here, not a lot. In the New Testament, we see Melchizedek again mentioned several times in this kind of reference that Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. That is, he is both prophet, he is both priest, and king. And by the way, what is the primary role of a priest? That is to know God's word and to share that word with people. This is one of the primary things. Knowing God's word, sharing God's word, this is what God has said. And the priest would get up and read of the word of God. As part of a royal priesthood, this is your role too. You who are in Christ, You are heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. You have been grafted into the family, and as such, you become heirs with Christ. The Bible talks about that time when we will reign with Christ. And not only that, but he is the high priest, but we are part of the priesthood of believers. And our role of that is sharing this word of God with people around us as well. What a blessing. We are a part of the royal priesthood. The next blessing we see is we are a holy nation. Israel was referred to as a holy nation. That was Israel's name. They were chosen. They were set apart by God for good works. God was going to use Israel. We see something in Ephesians 2:10, though. Paul reminds us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them for good works. That we should walk in these good works he's prepared for us. And the word here for workmanship, we are his workmanship. It is that word poema, where we get the word poem from. A beautiful piece of art, a work of an author. And this is how he describes us. We're God's workmanship. We're God's poem. His artwork that he's put together and he has a plan for. Created unto good works that God's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But we're a holy nation, like Israel was holy. We, the people of God, grafted in, are also called a holy people. And this has a positive aspect, it has a negative aspect. The positive aspect is that we are holy, we are separated, we are set aside for God unto good works that he's prepared. So we have a purpose, and that is God's purpose that he's given to us. And we are a holy people, separated for that purpose. That's the positive aspect. The negative aspect is that because we are a holy people, we are to remain separated and unpolluted in the world. That's a part of being a holy people, is to be separated and kept from the pollution of the world. And when I say the world, I'm talking about the sinful nature that is the world. The sinful nature that is contrary and against God. James says in James 1:27, he put it this way, pure and undefiled religion, that is genuine faith, before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's it. I don't believe what James is saying is, you know, real Christianity means you must only visit orphans and widows. No, what he's saying is, the positive aspect here is that there are good works that God has given to his holy people and prepared for them to do. And this is part of it. It's looking after those who have need, giving that cup of water to someone who is in need in his name. So it is that action, the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. But the second aspect is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Why? Because we're a holy people. We're separated to God for his purpose, for his use. Too many Christians have some kind of religion that makes no difference to themselves or to people around them. We're a holy people. The other fourth blessing that we see here is we're his own special people. That's what Peter said when he said, it just says in verse number 9, his own special people. That is, you are a special possession of God. You belong to him. God made you, and he saved you, not only so that you could enjoy God, but that he can enjoy you as his child. You're his special possession. What a blessing. And one more blessing that we have is we are a people who have obtained mercy. In verse 10, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That mercy of God, that is that He has not given to us that which we deserve. Mercy is when God withholds what we actually do deserve, judgment. We deserve His wrath, His condemnation, but by God's mercy, He has given us and offered us forgiveness and cleansing, a new life. We've obtained mercy, and I think that Peter puts this in here in all these blessings to remind us that all these blessings is not because how wonderful and special you are. Oh, I'm a holy person. I'm God's chosen people. No, it's because of God's great mercy. What a blessing His mercy is. Not our own doing. So we are a blessed people. That's one characteristic. Let's move on to the next characteristic. Believers are a worshiping people. Back to our text, verse 9, what does it say? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Proclaim the praises of Him who called you. One of the things that distinguishes is a mark of a true believer is a life of worship. We live to worship God with our lives. That's not a Sunday morning thing. This is some part of what we do together, but our life is a life of worship. What you do for the Lord. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord, not as unto men. And so your life is a life of continual worship in obedience to God. Recall a fella in the Bible named Job. J-O-B. Job. What happened to Job? He lost everything. It's a sad story in a way. It's so sad, though. It starts off heartbreaking. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. He was in a bad shape. What was the first thing Job did when all that happened? Job 1:21, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first thing Job did was he worshiped. He worshiped God in it. In the hardship, in the hard time. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be His name. He is God. He is worthy. My life is made to worship Him. The word blessed, the Hebrew word there in Job, it literally means to congratulate or to praise. Lord, Your name is great. Congratulations. I praise You because of Your great name. This is something that separates us from the people of the world. How is your worship? How is your thanksgiving? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In what? Everything. In the good times? Yep. Good times. That's a wonderful time to praise the Lord, isn't it? Yes. I got that job. Yes. You know, I'm getting married. Yes, you know, God has blessed us with so many things. But in trouble, in conflict, in uncertainty, like Job, to be able to say, Lord, I still give thanks in everything. Blessed be Your name. You are worthy. Praise be Your name. The third mark or characteristic of believers is that believers are not home yet. Yeah, you know, like that old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Many of you perhaps know that song. That's who we are, though. As believers, that's a characteristic. We're like nomads. He said in verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He says, as sojourners and pilgrims. Some translate this as strangers and aliens. You're a stranger in this world. You're an alien, not as in from another planet, but as in you don't belong. This is not your home. Abraham was also a nomad. He was traveling. He lived in tents. And he lived from place to place, but he was traveling looking for that place God had promised. He looked for something else. God had said he would give him a land. And he went by faith looking for this land that God had given to him. That's kind of what we are. With Jesus speaking to believers, he says, listen, don't worry about what you will wear, what you will eat. Don't strive after these things as the pagan unbelievers do. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. This world is not our home. Don't make that your focus. Don't make that your whole life goal. God knows what you need. He'll take care of you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Peter, in the next chapter, actually talks to the church. He talks about adorning yourself with outward beauty and like the world does, and fixing up your hair. And he was just talking about focusing on the things the world does as being beautiful. But Peter says, no, our beauty is inward, in a life of holiness, in a life that is pleasing to God. Why? This world is not our home. And so therefore, it's not the one to determine to us what true beauty is. And so we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. Christians are different. We're different. We should be. We must be. Fourthly, the fourth characteristic, fourth mark, is believers are at war. There's a war taking place. What kind of war are we talking about? Well, he says in verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. There's this war in the soul of fleshly lust. And there's a war that takes place when you become a believer. Before you're a believer, you're a slave to sin. Sin is your master, and you will serve your master. When you become a believer, a Christian, you are set free. You're set free from sin, and you serve a new master, a joyful master out of gratefulness and thankfulness, because he set you free from sin and death. And so we have a new master. But because of this, there begins a war that takes place that perhaps wasn't there before. And so when we share Christ with people, when we share the gospel with people, we need to be careful that we don't give the impression that, oh, when you trust Jesus, life is always going to get better. You're going to have more. You're going to have more money, more success, more wealth, more friends, more everything that you ever had before. Your best life now. Because the truth is, often when one comes to trust Christ, sometimes things get really difficult then. Get difficult. Why? Because there's this war that takes place. Because your spirit has been made alive when it was dead before. Things are different now. And there's this battle that takes place. There's a battle that wasn't there before. How do we win this battle? The spirit and the flesh. That is the sinful nature of the flesh. How do we win this battle? Paul writes in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Abide in the Spirit. Now we believe all believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in them. Amen? That is a mark of a believer. You have the Spirit of God in you. It's not that some Christians are special Christians and they have the Spirit while others haven't quite gotten there yet. No. Paul writes in Romans, if any man does not have the Spirit, he's none of his. He doesn't have the Spirit of God. He doesn't belong to God. Indicating anyone who is truly born again, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. But to walk in the Spirit is an ongoing work. And it's submitting to the Spirit's control in your life. And this Spirit control is not, I'm not referring to some mystical, weird feeling that you may get from time to time. And you say, oh, that's the Spirit control. No. The Spirit takes the Word of God. It brings to mind and to remembrance the things of the Word of God that we have hidden in our heart. And as we feed on the Word of God, He takes the things of the Word of God in situations where we need it. And He leads us. He guides us. And if we live and follow His obedience, we are walking in the Spirit. I've often heard the illustration of the war that takes place inside a believer as a fight between two dogs that are going on. You got your white dog, you got your black dog, and they're starving. And they're fighting to the death. Now, which one's going to win the fight? The simple answer is the one that you're going to feed the most. The one that you starve is not going to win. But the one you feed the most. The application is simply that you feed the flesh, the things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, with the things that we see, the things that we watch, the things we listen to, the things we read. And if we feed the flesh constantly, we are strengthening the flesh. If we feed the things of the Spirit, that is that we are in the Word, not just in the Word, but in the fellowship. And I say that because we need fellowship. In the Scriptures, it's always about one another, one another, one another. So we need fellowship with each other. Why? Because there are times when, as a brother or sister, I can help you and I can encourage you through the Word of God. Be it a challenge, be it an encouragement, be it through a correction. And there are times when you may need to do the same to me. So I'm not just an island to myself. I'm just a Christian. It's between me and God and nobody else's business. We're a fellowship. And we need to be in that fellowship. And the Spirit uses our brothers and sisters around us as well. But you feed the Spirit. You feed the Spirit. And the things of the flesh grow weak. So who's going to win? The thing that you feed the most. So when you feel a struggle inside, when you feel the pull of the lust of the flesh or something like that, consider it like a hunger pain. There's hunger and you need to feed. The question is, what are you going to feed? You feed the flesh, you're going to be losing that battle. But if you feed the things of the Spirit, get in the Word of God, get in the fellowship with the people of God, get in prayer, and commune with God, you're feeding the Spirit and you're making that stronger in this battle. But Christians are in a battle. Christian, member of the church, if you're feeling distressed in these trying days, I urge you, put your focus on feeding the Spirit. Watch some of the other input that you allow. Just be careful of the other things you're feeding on. Instead of stressing internally, instead of just getting too much from your social media, your constant news, information gathering, gathering gossip and rumors at home, at work, whatever it may be, I urge you, going through difficulties, keep your focus on God, on the Word of God, on feeding on the Word of God, and on the fellowship of brothers and sisters in the Lord who love the Lord and who also care about you, love you. One more mark, one more characteristic of the people of God. I like this one, and maybe you do too, but believers are beautiful. Amen? Amen? I mean, did you see yourself in the mirror before you left? Man, the people of God are beautiful. Now, we can't get too puffed up once again. Because what is Peter talking about? He says in verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they, by your good works, which they observe, they can see something, glorify God in the day of visitation. The word good here can rightly be translated beautiful. So they take a look at your life and they see something beautiful. Something beautiful. And the idea here, and I believe what Peter is suggesting, is that by your obedience to the Lord, by your life of holiness to God, even those who may want to speak bad about you, your actions and the life that you live, your lifestyle, speaks volumes. And maybe even through that testimony, they become open to the Lord and even put their faith and trust in Him, so that on the day of visitation, on that day when the Lord comes, on that day of judgment, they too will be part of His family, part of His bride. I believe that's what he's talking about, because even in the next chapter, he gives a specific illustration in chapter 3 of wives who are Christians and they're married to an ungodly husband. And he has some admonition to them. He says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they're not believers, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So he's saying, listen, wives, you know, maybe you came to faith and your husband didn't. Peter's suggesting, you know, maybe nagging him to death is not going to work. Trying to drag him kicking and screaming to church with you is not going to work. But your gentleness and your life of obedience to the Lord and your holiness and your conduct, he's going to notice something. And by doing that, he may be one to the Lord. He may be one to the Lord because he sees something beautiful in his wife. Christian, the world needs to see something beautiful in God's people. It may not be outwardly. We may not all have my kind of good looks. Amen. But what he's talking about is something inward. What he's talking about is a life in this world which stands out, a life where God is working. So IBC, let us reflect ourselves on these marks, these characteristics. Let us reflect them to the world around us. Christians should be different. Christians must be different. Our goal isn't to try to get as close and look just like the world as much as we can. That we're unnecessary if that's the case. Our goal is to say, we're a people of God. We're a holy people. We're a chosen people. We're a blessed people. We're a beautiful people. This year, take this theme to heart. Let us proclaim the praises of Him who called us. Let's stand, would you? Let's stand together. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? And I'm going to ask you in your heart this morning to commit yourself to something. I've been talking about Christians, I know. And there may be some here who are unsure of their own salvation. Unsure if they truly have been born again, if they know Jesus as their Savior. And if that is your heart, if that's what's going on inside of you, I urge you to come and talk with myself, with Pastor Mike, any number of the leaders of IBC here. We have many good leaders, deacons, and life group leaders who are more than capable and more than happy to help you come to understand and know Jesus as your Savior. But I've been talking to Christians primarily because that's who this passage is referring to. So this morning, fellow Christian, I urge you in your heart to recommit yourself to the Lord as a people who are showing these marks, the marks of a Christian, characteristics of a Christian. We are a chosen people with many blessings. God has blessed us, of which one of the greatest blessings is His bountiful mercy. We are a worshiping people. And Lord, today I recommit my life to You to be a worshiping person. I worship You with my life. All that I do, I want to do it for You, Your way. In the good times, in the difficult times, I want to be a worshiper, a thankful people. As a Christian, we realize we're not at home yet. We are nomads passing through. We have work to do. We must be faithful. But we're looking for another home. We are warring against the flesh. And the question is, what are You going to feed? Lord, today I recommit myself afresh. I want to feed the Spirit. I want to be in the Word of God. I want to be in fellowship with the people of God, that the Spirit of God can use these things to move in my life, to speak to me. We are a beautiful people, not in our own beauty, but the beauty of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Lord, may the people around me see Your beauty in me. My desire is to proclaim the glory of Him who called me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please take a seat now? We have a few announcements that we need to hear, and we'll be dismissed.
The message this morning, just a few quick announcements before we're dismissed. If you look on the inside of your bulletin, on the inside page is under notices. For the next week, at least next week, we know we'll still be at two worship services, an 8:30 worship service and a 10 o'clock worship service. And then we'll be looking for the announcement to be made the following week. And hopefully we can be back to one worship service all together. So keep up with our Facebook page. We'll let you know by posting on the Facebook page as well as the IBC webpage. And we'll try to text as many of you as we can as well. A marriage couples retreat. We have this coming up every year. This year it's going to be the 29th through the 31st of October. Cost is $225 per couple. And you can go ahead and sign up today. The way that we have is we have 12 rooms in total that we've already reserved. If you sign up and then if you go ahead and pay, that secures the place for you. If by chance that we have another lockdown level or for some reason we can't go, it's refundable, so you're not going to lose the money, and we'll try to schedule another date if that happens. But the 29th through the 31st, Married Couples Retreat down in Papamoa, so if you can sign up, go ahead and sign up today as quickly as you can. Steve and Lynn Spohr, our missionaries, Pastor Ken mentioned just a moment ago, our missionaries were praying for this week, so please be faithful and pray for them and continue to lift them up in their health needs and the Hertzels as well, that the Lord's will be done in their life as well. So I think that's all of the announcements. Other than that, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary this week. A birthday or an anniversary. Anyone with a birthday or a wedding anniversary? Any birthdays? Come on up here. I'm glad you are, because my birthday's this week too. I won't be up here all alone. Happy birthday to you. What day? Today. Wow, happy birthday to you. Anyone else with a birthday or wedding anniversary? We had two in the morning service. Gigi was one and Denise was one. How about wedding anniversaries? No one? Let's all stand. We'll sing Happy Birthday together. Pastor Kenny can then dismiss us in time of prayer.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, sorry.
Happy birthday to you. Very good. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, guys. God bless. God bless. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Be sure to greet each other before you leave. Pray for one another. Pray for our missionaries this week, the Spores in Vanuatu, and the faithful involved in your various life groups. And I look forward to seeing you again next week. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today. And may we be the people of God this year, Lord. May we reflect Him. We are a special, chosen, holy people. Lord, we are a blessed people. We are a people without home. We are a people at war with the flesh. We are a beautiful people that is to display your glory and what you can do in a person's life. Let us be this people. And may we bring others to you through it. In Jesus' name. And we say, amen. God bless you guys. Love you. You're dismissed. See you soon.